Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio, America's original 12-step radio show. From addiction to recovery, from despair to encouragement, and everything in between. This is real life. And now, Steppin' Out Radio.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Steppin' Out, where every week we hear news stories of people that have overcome so many issues in life. But the good news is they've come out on the other side, and they're here to share with you and the audience their experience, strength, and hope in what they did to turn their lives around. And as if you're just tuning in, this is what we do all the time. And check out more stories at steppingoutradio.com. But today we have a unique show, and I'm really excited to speak with the speakers we have here because it is a very pervasive problem in the world, especially with social media and Instagram. And just this world of perfection. We're all supposed to look perfect, talk perfect, act perfect, be perfect. So today, one of our guests, and again, I've met her before, and she's beautiful. This isn't radio, but this isn't television, it's radio. But I have here with me, her name is Asia. She's known as Asia. She's a CEO of a company, and she's going to tell us about that. A model, a meditation coach, an addiction counselor. She's had a fascinating career. She started modeling pretty relatively late in life at age 40 with Elite Model Management. She'll talk about that. She's walked the runways in Paris. She's really done it all, commercials. Again, she's a counselor, and she's going to talk about some of the companies that she runs, which are really fascinating and helps so many people. So, Asia, welcome to Steppin' Out, and thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me here. I'm really excited.
Good. Well, we're excited to hear your story. So on Steppin' Out Radio, we begin at the beginning of somebody's life. And do you want to give us a little background about yours and how your issues might have started and progressed?
Sure. I would love to share this. And hopefully we all can learn from our mistakes and maybe improve some things. First, I would like to say that I believe addictions is really a psychological problem, which relates more likely to some drama or things happen in our life in the childhood. And I am typical example of that. I'm coming from alcoholic family. My grandfather, my father, my brother, they both were alcoholics. They actually committed suicide in the 50s.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And so I feel that have incredible impact of who I am right now and how I lead my life and my choices. So starting with the childhood, I was born in communist Poland, and my mother was very hardworking. My father, as an alcoholic, was taking care of me during this time. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to do that. Very often, he will not pick up me from grade school, and I remember being there alone with the teacher, which was obviously very dramatic for 4 or 5 years old child. I was a very lonely child.
My life was just you and your brother?
Was it just me and my brother?
You and your brother.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I was a very lonely child. I basically was raised on the street. My childhood was really full of drama, of violence. I witnessed many very dramatic situations, like my father beating my mom, mm-hmm. and going to the police stations reporting, and you know, sometimes she was even in blood. So that really have incredible impact on me, and I didn't have many friends. I think that creates an insecurity in me. I never felt loved. I was very shy, and as I remember, until high school, my first reaction to any criticisms was crying. So unfortunately, also there were some issues also happened in my life, like sexual abuse by my uncle between 9 and 12. All those things obviously create a lot of emotional problems.
Of course.
And when I was 12 and 13, this is when I started my first, I would say, substance abuse. At this time in Poland, the only actually access we have was alcohol. Mm-hmm. We didn't have cocaine.
Right.
So I was actually inhaling paint thinner.
Oh, wow. Okay, so almost, so not alcohol, paint thinner.
Yes, I was sniffing it, yes.
Wow.
I remember almost every night under my blanket, and that really got me high, and I felt wonderful. I think that was my first experience of, yeah, of escaping from mm-hmm. my pain, basically.
Sure.
Through my college years, I would say I was drinking like everybody else. We all know this is the time when we all experience that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say there was a really big problem. However, I felt I always have these moments of severe depression and feeling like I don't want to be here. I don't want to leave. I felt misunderstood. I don't feel appreciated and not loved.
Mm-hmm.
Just going fast forward, then I got married. I came to America. I got married. I have kids. During the marriage, I wasn't really having any problem.
Did you come to America because you met a man over in Poland?
My ex-husband was from Poland.
But what made you to come to America? That's a pretty brave move.
I felt like I won $1 million in that time because
uh-huh.
I basically escaped communists. It was in 81, the time when Solidarity formed. I was just lucky because my ex-husband came for exchange for age program.
Perfect.
And he invited me.
Okay.
So I came without English, but and you know, I was extremely happy. However, I was not happy in the relationship with him. I already saw certain things I did not like. He was very abusive emotionally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have basically two choices, stay with him and try or go back to Poland. So I decided to stay.
And how many kids did you have again?
I have two kids.
You have two.
Two boys,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So through the marriage, I think I was a very good wife. I mean, very supportive. He was really very abusive with me, not physically, but emotionally. I can see right now, looking back, that I have a codependency issue totally.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like many of my friends told me, I am becoming like him. I talk like him. I have the same believing system, you know. It's like I was not myself. And
was he a drinker?
He was not. That's
okay.
Probably why the drinking problem didn't appear yet there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not happy. I was actually playing, you know, role to be happy.
Sure.
Everybody always see me very happy and smiling, but inside I was very sad and empty.
Mm-hmm.
So after 10 years, I was strong enough to get divorced. My kids were at that time 7 and 8 and a half. I started my own company. Anyway, that was actually the time because I have a company called Caremax. I was helping women who comes from Europe and other countries to place them in, you know, domestic help. And it was very fulfilling for me because obviously, you know, I could relate to them.
Right.
And I not only did I place them in different jobs, but I also was like a role model. I really helped them, motivate them to go to school.
Sure.
At the same time, when I was going to see my clients, everybody was telling me, oh, you're so beautiful, you should become a model. So I said, well, you know what, actually I think I should make money with that. Why not? And I, at age 40, I got signed with Elite Agency, which was very unusual at that time.
Wow.
Almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have access. I mean, I have successful career. I was going even to Paris for shows. And the modeling is a really interesting topic. I wish I could talk to you about because there's so many magical things and which happened about that, including my interaction with Donna Karen. And so, but I don't
want to give us a little bit. We have time.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really felt the reason why I want to also become model, because I felt that time, you know, we're talking about 20 years ago,
uh-huh.
that really the industry should change already. I already see that, you know, this is illusion world, mm-hmm. that really, I mean, the role model should be model all ages. And, you know, all the mature women cannot relate to those 16, 14 years old. So I kind of want to break that through. One of the things I did, which is silly, I thought, oh, maybe I will, maybe I will try to get to Calvin Klein because he at that time was promoting Kate Moss. And I said, oh, if he can do something out of the box, you know, maybe he can attract and get all the women. Mm-hmm. So I actually sent him, I remember, 16 white roses to his office for his birthday.
That was smart.
And yeah, and I sent him a card from Paris. And I, of course, nothing happened. But I tried. Perhaps he got it. I don't know. But
and were
anyway,
you drinking at this point or no?
Not so much. Mm-hmm. Not at that point yet. Mm-hmm. Because I guess I think that the drinking happened very often with people when they have a transition, when there is an extreme stress level, mm-hmm. when, you know, perhaps divorce, on a job, or losing a child. I believe that people start reaching for something, whatever it is, when they have a lot of anxieties.
Right.
They do not know how to deal with the anxiety, then they reach whatever makes them
think. So at this point, you're like over 40, but yeah, you've never really had a problem with drinking.
I was drinking, but socially.
No,
at that point, not so much, yes.
Interesting.
The mothering, and just tell you one thing, I think it's kind of interesting. I was actually, there was a show in Chicago, Donna Karen show. She came to the show also, and my book, I say, why don't you go? And all the models were very young. I said, come on, I am too old. She said, no, just go. And they did pick me up. So I was the only one,
awesome.
40 years old. I know. And was incredible. And they were like 20 girls. Mm-hmm. So after the show, my booker is calling me and she said, listen, Donna Karen ask about you. She loves your look. She wants to meet you.
Great.
So I thought, oh my God, how is it possible? I think it is possible, and this is something I experienced in my life, that what is very important in life is your energy.
Mm-hmm.
She probably felt my energy because
well,
I was
going to say you have a spirit.
And the
know,
spirit.
A beautiful
what I mean,
spirit.
Yeah. And the spirit. This is what happened. So I met her. I talked with her. She was amazing. I mean, I met her in some event. She came to me first. She said, I love your look. I want you to be my show. Anyway, that was beginning. I never actually was in her show later. But there's many things. I actually have meetings with her. We talk about. So I guess this is example of showing to everybody that everything is possible in life.
Right.
If you really focus and you send this energy and you're pure in energy and transparent.
Sure.
So after when I got divorced, I have this company, which was very successful. Actually, I was prized as one of the 100 women making a difference in
Beautiful.
New York. Yes. And there was a moment when my ex-husband was very difficult. I was living around the corner. So I decided to move to New York to start my modeling career and actually change my life.
Uh-huh.
On my way to Paris, I stopped the agency. They signed a contract with me, Wilhelmina. It was amazing and was fantastic.
That is amazing.
So going back to the addictions, life was amazing. Of course, I was in new city. I had experiences. I was going out a lot. I was meeting people. In the second year, I met a person who I can say even now, he was my soulmate. Mm-hmm. I felt really connected with him on every level. He actually introduced me to coke.
To cocaine?
Yes, cocaine. Mm-hmm. First time in my life. He introduced me and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
For next, I would say 2 years, I was really abusing coke intensively. I mean, mm-hmm. really, really. I could say the 2 years, I kind of totally removed myself. I was going still to castings. I was working mm-hmm. as a model at the time. But that's the only thing it was being.
Is that how you paid for the coke?
He provided the coke.
He provided
the coke.
Okay.
And I basically almost lived with him. And my life was going to casting, come back, and we did coke. I mean, sometimes we'll start, 10 o'clock in the evening and finish 7, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. So
and that leads, of course, to many different experiences. The coke experience was interesting for me. I mean, for some reason, it helps me to get to the lowest, the highest also, of course, mm-hmm. but also the lowest of myself. This is the first time when I actually discover I have a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. I was abusive. I was aggressive with him. I am sure the coke has something to do with that. But still, before I never was. I was this nice girl who never raised voice, never screamed.
Right.
Here I see myself even, beating him up and not understanding why. And now I know the anger. Of course, he was the mirror. He provoked the anger. But the anger, I think, was really related to my childhood.
Sure.
Which I never really faced. And I never went to any therapy. And that's what happened, I think. this, it gives me the comfort level somehow, because of course I feel great, and that leads to amazing sex, which also become huge part in the relationship, and I would maybe say maybe even addictions. Mm-hmm. I felt like the sex was kind of
become addictive.
Totally. I mean, yes, it was mm-hmm. about that. And so the beginning was amazing, like a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I noticed something is wrong. And, you know, I thought that, oh, my God, okay, we're taking the cock, but still is amazing. We're so incredible. And this is somebody who is really amazing on every level, too, as a person. Very caring, talented, brilliant, and this and this. And I actually figured out something is not right. No, it didn't take me long to figure out he's a sex addict. Mm. That really adds a totally different dimension to relationship. And I can tell you that was so painful, because I'm actually a person who is very loyal, very transparent. I never cheat on anybody. Mm-hmm. So I could not understand how it's possible somebody can love so much and then have sex with her. Yes. Right. I have many discussions. I couldn't understand. I actually began to get to this state when I become almost addictive. I was obsessed.
Sure.
I need to know, because he was lying to me, and that's, I can talk about sex addictions a lot. I mean, I really lived through that, mm-hmm. and is I personally think is the most devastating. I know alcohol, coke, but it is, because besides that, you really, really don't live your life. I mean, the people, they really develop addictive thinking. Everybody who is involved, like me, all the other women who obviously didn't know too. I mean, there were times when he was involved with 5 women. And then, you know, he lies to you. You believe, it's like you're so confused, you doubt yourself. You really don't know who you are. And I have no choice. I have to, you know, check who is going to his apartment and this just to prove to him, you know, and sit by the steps, which I will never, ever do. So I really become obsessed with that. Then was a moment when I didn't know what I want to leave, and I could not. Mm. I could not leave. And I was not sure if it's the cock, if it's the sex, if it's the person. And so I got in severe depression. Mm-hmm. There was a month, this was the month when I been drinking every day. Mm-hmm. Bottle of wine. I mean, I basically went every day, got a bottle of wine, and I drink. And mm-hmm. I isolate myself totally.
Mm-hmm. Were you doing coke with the alcohol, or just
no?
Just
I didn't alcohol? Have access to. I just okay. do. I that switched to alcohol.
Okay.
Heavenly. I mean, really. I mean, there were days when I would not go out 2-3 days, just crying, not knowing really what to do with myself, what to do with this anger, all the emotions, feeling, and really. And unfortunately, there was that weak moment, which I think many addicts have, when I tried to commit suicide. Mm. And wow. I drink big bottle of wine with some psychotic pills, which I have from my son, but my son is totally different issue. I mean, I was really almost on the other side. Somehow my conscience told me, maybe you should not leave yet. You have 2 kids. And, you know, it's... So I make this call. I have a conscious to my best friend. Listen, I just took some pills of my son. I think I made a mistake. And luckily enough, I got her. That was really like, because normally she's hard to reach. So then I basically lost consciousness.
Did she send the ambulance?
Yes, she sent the ambulance. I don't remember anything. As far as I know, I was really... I mean... I was lucky that there were 7 doctors. They actually did transfusion of my blood. I am really lucky I'm here and talking to you. Yes.
I'm glad you're here, but go ahead.
So
you came out of that. Like, so you were in obviously a huge clinical depression. Yes. When you left the hospital, then what happened?
So obviously I was sent, I have some therapists there already. They have AA meetings. Mm-hmm. They said, you need to go to recovery. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a huge problem. I mean, we don't want this to happen again. So I was signed to Addiction Institute in New York to outpatient recovery program mm-hmm. For 6 months, 4 times a day. It's fun. At the same time, about pretty much the same time, I got a scholarship to become addiction counselor.
Wow.
So it was interesting because I was experiencing, you know, here I'm learning about this, like really, really, and it's the school was really amazing too. And then I'm, you know, in these meetings, you know, it was, of course, AA meetings, TBD, and all those different, you know, techniques. I also went to therapies. So I can tell you how I felt. It was very interesting. I listened to everybody, and there were a group of 12 people, and it didn't feel right for me. Somehow makes me feel depressed. I was listening to the story, and I felt a lot of anger to those people. I felt like, this is good, but I really do not want to be in my life in position when I really have to, you know, avoid the places, the people, that is, because how I'm going to do that? It's like, I know most of my friends drinks, and I still want to live my life. And I felt like I need to find a way, another way to heal myself. And this is when I decided to really seriously practice meditation and yoga.
Great.
So I signed with Kundalini Yoga. And Kundalini Yoga, if I can give any advice to anybody, is the most amazing practice
you can have. Can you spell? What kind of yoga?
K-U-N-D-A-L-I-N-I.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So for those out there, K-U-N-D-A-L-I-N-I Yoga. Check it out.
Kundalini, I mean, I practice actually many yogas, including, I mean, I was also in India a few times. But I would like to talk on silence meditation, which I can share with you too.
Sure.
But Kundalini, this yoga practically saved my life and transformed me. And I know many, many people who say the same thing.
Wow.
They were ready to also commit suicide. They were depressed, didn't know what to do with themselves. They start the yoga, and they are different people. What is amazing about this yoga, they call this yoga of awareness. And it's the most difficult yoga. It's very difficult yoga. It's 1.5 hour. It has many components. It's really about breathing. Breathing, it's a mantra when you repeat certain things. Also mudras, you know, when you put your fingers in a way. And
but it's not so much stretches where...
It is also.
No, but where, like, if you're not in great shape, you can't do it.
You can.
That's, yeah.
I think you can
I
do
think
it.
That's important.
No. It's actually, in certain way, is easier than another yoga. It's not, there are certain stretches, but the stretches are simple, which can be difficult. For example, if you just raise your hands up and try to keep them for 3 minutes, you'll be surprised how difficult it is. The mind turns, it's painful. No, you cannot do it.
Really?
Yeah. So it has a combination of a lot of things. But what it is about Kundalini Yoga, and I decided to really take this very seriously. So I did the Kundalini Yoga for 40 days every day. I went to the studio every day. You know, it took me 3 hours of my, because to get there, and the yoga is 1.5 hour. Yogi Science said, if you do something for 40 days, no matter what it is, it changed the pattern. You will change the pattern. So
it becomes a habit.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So if you, it was not easy to do that. But going back to, I just want to talk a little bit about the Kundalini. They have right now one studio actually in New York, but you can check online. There's many teachers about that. What it does, it creates, first of all, obviously it's every meditation and yoga. It makes you relax. It really make your nervous system stronger. I mean, we have 72,000 nerves, you know, endings. It makes stronger, improves your memory. You become more loving, you become more forgiving. You really heal. I feel like I really heal myself. Amazing thing is that when I practice, I feel so much love. And I will always call to my friends and I said, I love you. And they say, you just finished Kundalini Yoga, right? Yes. Now, the beginning was very hard. It was painful. I was crying a lot. I could sometimes cry through whole class. And the teacher would tell me, don't worry, this is good. This is actually, that means you're taking this on a deep level. And all the stuff is coming out. This is the healing process.
Right.
This is really on deep level. And Then, of course, you know, I went to different, they have different I would say, events like white tantric yoga is a kundalini yoga when you go and practice for all day, you know, for what it's really also difficult, but imagine 2,000 people and the energy is incredible.
And what about the meditation that you started to touch on?
So the meditation, like then of course, what is nice that they, of course, give you different tools. Some of the meditation is very simple mantra, like the most famous mantra mantra we use in Kundalini Yoga is Sat Nam. And that means truth is your identity, mm-hmm. which is actually, this is exactly what it is. When you practice this yoga, you really connect with yourself mm-hmm. and you become truthful in your life and you're not fearful. I call this, you know, I actually trademarked this word, UN-dependent, undependent, mm-hmm. means, you know, you are dependent and you're independent. Mm-hmm. I think it's more loving and compassion than addiction. So you really become independent from anything and anyone in life. Mm-hmm. And what is incredible, you develop intuition. And what that means that through practicing this, you are so alert, you become intuition. Mm-hmm. And this intuition help you to make right choices in your life. Mm-hmm. I can give you so many examples when I feel, oh, yeah, I should do it. Oh, maybe not. And then exactly this moment came when I should make it and I regret I didn't. So that refers to everything. It refers to choices of your partner, mm-hmm. You know, what you do with your life. I believe it or not, my true passion came when I was 50 years old. I wasn't really fully formed. Mm-hmm. Part of it is because I think of those addictions. I mean, I have some other addictions. I have a shopping addictions. I think I have a codependency issues in the past. Right now, I am very free mm-hmm. person. I'm independent. It's amazing to be in that state. I don't abuse coke. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, sometimes I have a glass of wine socially, mm-hmm. but I will not go ever to that, you know.
That's not your drug of choice.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's, I feel wonderful. Because of that, my experiences, I decided to help people with addictions.
And so tell us about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I formed a foundation with the name Models Against Addictions. Mm-hmm. I choose the name. People always ask me, is this for models? Why models? Well, I choose the name because I believe models and fashion industry, you know, industry and celebrities have incredible influence on society. Mm-hmm. We all watch what they do, what they eat, what they say.
Right.
So I thought we will have the power and when we, you know, as a models. And my mission is to change the stigma and integrate yoga and meditation in recovery. Since mm-hmm. my own experience, I am not against AA. I think AA is a wonderful works mm-hmm. for many people. It's the best out there, whatever it is. You know, all the therapies, but if you can integrate meditation, and you know, meditation is so amazing because, and there's a lot of things out there you can find on internet. Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey, every few months they have a 21-day meditation. Please try this, it's for free.
Okay.
Many people do that, and it can transform you. Just doing this is combined also with some speech and mantras, is really incredible. So, I think the meditation is very important because what is great when you have the anxiety, when you have the craving for, you know, any dependency that you have, you just meditate. As simple as it is. Mm. And I promise you, it will take away that. It does. It does take away. And you know, it's great because you can do this anyway. I actually meditate in subway very often. Close my eyes and kind of block my energy and, you know, and meditate in silence.
Something
yeah.
aside from driving a car you could do anywhere.
And
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And any time of day.
Yeah. And yeah. So yeah. This is, yeah. So, but, you know, but meditation, of course, and many people say, well, it's hard. I cannot think. This is not what meditation is about. It's not about stopping thinking. Nobody can do that. I mean, you can really do that if you meditate, obviously. For example, I was doing Vipassana meditation. I was in India. Vipassana meditation is silent meditation when you go. Mm-hmm. And for I did this for 10 and 7 days. But for 10 days, you don't talk. You have no communication, no phone, nothing.
That's
you
hard.
Just very hard. Yes.
Yeah.
You just meditate for 10 hours a day. And this particular meditation is about scanning your body and try to feel every sensation you have. So I'm giving you this example because obviously when you go to that, your mind cannot think about anything else.
Right.
So you get in the trance, and that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. That you actually don't think about anything because we always think, we always worry. The brain plays tricks with us and, you know, we program and we're fearful and the fear comes, you know, from past, whatever.
There's a lot of fear.
Yeah,
everything.
Exactly. Yes. So, but you know, the meditation can be in many different forms. Like mantra is very helpful. Like, mm-hmm. Transcendental meditation is very famous for mantra. They,
right.
they give you the mantra, your own personal mantra, and then you repeat the mantra when you meditate. But you can have your own mantra. You can even repeat your name. It doesn't matter. And that's what it's about. That you.
And what's your website for those out there?
Okay, so I have many websites. Okay, actually, we got off track.
No, it's
so,
okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So the Models Against Addiction. So I decided through my own personal experience because, you know, I mean, I'm so sad. I could not save my father is a different story because, you know, I got divorced and I lost touch with him. But I was very close to my brother and I could not save him. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that every time I tried to talk with him, he was not comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I really strongly believe if we want to change anything in the, you know, within addictions, because as we know, 20% of people only ask for help. We need to change the stigma. Mm-hmm. That's why I decided that I'm going to focus on this. We need to change the stigma. We need to people out there know, you know, what is addiction, how difficult it is. What I really want to do, I want to create a bridge. Right now, from my experience, we have a community of people who are in recovery. Mm-hmm. They're very close to each other. They help each other. They support each other. And then is everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to create a bridge between those, you know.
Sure.
So people, and it doesn't exist so far.
Right.
And one way I did that, I actually did some things to make this happen. And all of you out there, you can help me, mm-hmm. You know, with small steps. First of all, I create an independent day. What it is, and UN-dependent, it's on 11th day of each month, I encourage everybody to refrain from any dependency they have for 24 hours. This is really for everybody else. But mm-hmm. I feel that if people do that, they relate already to the addictions dependency problem. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I want them to feel how hard it is. No matter what it is, hey, try not to look at Facebook for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Try not to smoke for 24 hours. Wow. Then they see, oh, this is difficult.
Or even watch TV.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Whatever. Now they have the compassion. Now they understand, whoa, I never realized this is so hard.
Sure.
Every person has to experience, whatever they have to experience, to relate to other person.
Right.
So we have this every month on 11th day.
Nice.
We try to take this to next level. We would love to create on January 11th International Independent Day.
Okay.
So everybody's involved and all the countries. So that's one thing. Now, it's very difficult. I have this foundation, Models Against Addictions. It's difficult for me to get funds. First of all, because, you know, I'm changing the stigma. Not many people want to give money changing the stigma. Mostly they give people.
No, they don't.
And then also, you know, meditation, yoga is like, so it's actually, I invest my own money, a lot of money. I don't care. I think this is going to come back to me another way.
Good for
That's
you.
How life it is. I believe in karma, yes. And
uh-huh.
It does, actually, it does,
uh-huh.
Always. And so I have a couple group of people working for me and interns. It's really great. Some friends are helping me. So we were thinking how we can raise money.
Mm-hmm.
So you remember this the ice bucket challenge?
Yes.
Yeah.
ALS.
They believe it or not, they raised 120 million.
Yeah. That's...
So we were thinking, what can we do to create something similar? So we came with the concept Cat Walk Challenge.
Okay.
And we create, of course, there's a page, Catwalk Challenge, everybody can check. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to ask, we ask everybody to pretend they are models, mm-hmm. and, you know, pretend that they're walking on the runway. And I think it's a fun thing to do, you know, especially sure. for not women, but even men. Why not? So we want them to do the catwalk challenge anyway. It can be anywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, in on the street, on in the home, at the office, whatever. And do the catwalk challenge, film the catwalk challenge, mm-hmm. and tag catwalk challenge, and post on social media.
Great.
If you could help us with that, it would be amazing. We want to make this viral. Just like the ice sure. bucket challenge.
Uh-huh.
And we actually in process right now, we just make a list of celebrities who are in recovery. We have 25 of them.
Uh-huh.
And we want to invite all of them to the catwalk challenge.
I love it.
Yes. So, and now, we can make this viral. Please, we have to make this viral. Because I tell you, I really want to help so much. I have many ideas. Right now, if we have money, mm-hmm. and if we do this, right, we can have money. You know,
yes,
then
I
would like to create. Yeah. So I am right now working on different programs.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte is actually working one of them. She
and
can
we're
share
talk
with
to
you.
Charlotte
yes,
next.
Yes.
Yep.
So the programs are programs. So the programs I'm going to be two different groups. Different programs. The programs are going to be programs which I would say help the person to have a more healthy and balanced lifestyle, mm-hmm. and perhaps heal also. Just to give you an idea, it's going to be art therapy, meditation, yoga. We have also nutrition, you know, mm-hmm. because I think it's very important in
right.
recovery and for anybody, right?
Because people turn to sugar
exactly,
because of it.
Yeah. So we're creating this program right now. We would like to work, and we already have a commitment from some modeling agency to do this program with models.
Good.
I also would love to take those programs and do them in recovery centers. Like go to, let's say, women's shelters, you know,
right.
empowering those women. And, I mean, we have women who are image consulting. Every variety you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we will be able to. But we need money for this. I don't want those, you know, most of the program actually is provide, which is, I think, cool, by models.
Mm-hmm.
The program is run by models because I also have another community called the Superl Models. These are models who are working models, but they also have other skills, like some of them are yoga teachers, meditation teachers. Yeah, coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So the models actually is going to go to different places and they're going to be providing the workshops.
I love it. So, well, we have to wrap up, but I just want, before we wrap up, I just want you to, who's ever out there listening, one takeaway, what you'd like them to do, go on which website in particular, and how can we help?
Okay, so you could help by doing the catwalk challenge, which is catwalkchallenge.org. And like
good.
I said, yeah, do the catwalk and promote on social media and, you know, anywhere.
And spread it to your friends.
Exactly. And you can also, if you have any friends who you think have problem with addictions or family members, please ask them to go to un-dependent.org. That's the website which encourage people to be, you know, independent on 11.
Okay.
If they start just on 11 and...
I like that idea. Yes. Asia, you're such a spitfire. You're such a pleasure. You do have great energy. We thank you. We'll have you back on again. We'll help you with what you're doing. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you want to hear more stories like Asia's, go to www.steppingoutradio.com. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host. Okay, we'll see you next time. Thanks.